Welcome, everybody, to the Nexus Church Planting Podcast, where we help equip pastors and leaders to multiply disciple-making communities. Today, I'm thrilled to have Brady Sticker with us, the founder of Church Candy, a digital marketing agency dedicated to helping churches grow through practical strategies that actually bring people through the doors. Brady has helped hundreds of churches connect with thousands of first-time guests, and he's on a mission to connect 1 million people to local churches. Brady, welcome to the podcast. It's so good to have you with us, man.
Andrew, thank you so much for having me. I love church planting. I've been a part of church plants. I love what you guys do at Nexus.
Yeah, appreciate you being here, man. Well, I'd love to just get a little bit of your story, just for people that are unfamiliar with who you are, what you do, and then really just dive into all the goodies that exist within Church Candy.
Yeah, man, for sure. So my name is Brady Sticker, founder, CEO of Church Candy. I felt called into ministry at a really young age, like I'm sure a lot of us might have been. And I thought it was going to be, I'm going to go be a youth pastor, maybe one day be like an associate pastor. I never saw myself in the like lead pastor role. My thing was like, and I still don't get it. I don't see how do lead pastors preach a brand new message every single week. Like I just can't wrap my head around that. Like it was one of the things, like when I was a youth pastor, I would preach once a month. And then we did like life groups, more like small group styles every week. And that was like a lot for me. So never saw myself in like the senior lead pastor role, but
yeah, it's all AI today. That's all. I mean, it's all generative.
There you go. I didn't have that back in my early days of ministry. So, while I was going to Bible college, I just, in my day job while I was there, my dad had started a company called Chiro Candy, helping chiropractors use like Instagram ads and Facebook ads to get new patients. I helped him with that company. We scaled it, worked with thousands of chiropractors. My dad still runs that business today. But when I was at Bible college, I just felt Lord put in my heart, like, hey, the local church needs what we're doing for these chiropractors. And so that's whenever I was like, all right, God, I guess I'm not just going to be a youth pastor and then like bivocational work with my dad. Now it's going to be like, yeah, still want to pursue ministry. I ended up getting a job at a church in Houston as a youth pastor. I say job lightly. It was a volunteer youth pastor position at a new church plant because I didn't need the paycheck, but I wanted to serve in the ministry. And so we planted a church here in the Woodlands, Texas. And it was cool because I got to like do the student ministry things, like the lock-ins, taking them to youth camp, the whole nine yards, and serve and help our church use Facebook ads and Instagram ads to invite people to church. And that's kind of how Church Candy was born, to where I was helping my church with it. I'm gonna be honest, Andrew, it did not work really well at first. Like I remember the first $500 that we spent to promote an interest party, no one showed up from the ads. And I was embarrassed. I was like, all right, God, did I miss the mark? Like maybe this isn't, maybe it's just like full ministry and not, social media marketing and stuff on top of that. But luckily my pastor had faith in me and we tried again. And eventually we got things dialed in and we started seeing new faces. And then my pastor told his friends about it. And then they told their friends about it. And now today we've worked with over 1,000 churches. We're on a mission to connect 1 million people to local church, like you said. We've already connected. We checked yesterday. It was like 315,000 people have been connected to a local church from the ads that we've set up and ran for churches.
That's fantastic, dude. Yeah. Well, I'd love to just kind of dive right in and just learn a little bit about like some of what you're actually doing. Cause I know that there's a couple of Nexus church planters more recently that have started utilizing some of this stuff. And we've kind of helped promote and recognize, you know, other services that have been involved in just like the social media marketing space, but just the opportunity that exists there is just ridiculous, whether, you know, of whatever platform that people are on and being able to do that. So I'm always open to just learning more about like who's doing what is actually working, what is actually getting conversations conversations and like how are we actually utilizing some of this incredible tool to be able to leverage it for ministry. There's a phrase that I love from one of the other guys that we've used in the past of that it's not having a different mindset about it, of like not viewing it as just like, oh, it's just marketing, it's just all this, whatever. But just thinking like it's not marketing, it's ministry, because at the end of the day, we're trying to get people in the walls of the church or in conversations for the changing of eternity, to make heaven crowded and all these different things. And so love the purpose behind it. But just dig a little deeper, like tell us a little bit about just kind of what you actually do, some of the strategy behind Church Candy, and just some of the kinds of advertisements that you guys are running.
Yeah, man. So it all comes down to like our goal at the end of the day is we want to see more people in the local church. Like that is what we focus on. So like we've had churches ask like, oh, could you help us like do graphic design stuff too, or like video editing for our announcements? And I'm like, look, there's other, I can refer you to people that do that really, really, really well. We just want to focus in taking, and this is a little cheesy, but it just drives the point across. We want to turn online views into butts and pews to really like just see the kingdom grow. Like that's kind of the prefaces of everything. And so there's a couple of different like campaigns that we run that make this happen. So I know there's like a lot of church planters on here that might be listening, or maybe you're looking to like, I want to plant a church one day. This is something that you can do whether you are a church that is meeting every single week, or you are looking to plant a church and you need to focus on building your launch team. This is something that we've been doing a lot more recently, that just God has just blessed it, and it's worked out super, super well, to where you basically record a video and you would say like, hey, my name is Brady. I'm a local pastor here in the Houston area. Do you have questions about God? Do you have questions about life? Maybe you're considering going back to church. I would love to sit down with you and just grab coffee and tell you about our ministry and hear your story. You can tap below to schedule a time to chat, right? Just literally, if my team could clip that and run it as an ad, everything I just said, and people in your city would love to go to church with you, especially in like the culture that we're living in with everything that's happening from like, rest in peace, Charlie Kirk, but like the revival that we're seeing in our country come from that. There was hundreds of thousands of people that opened their Bible or went to church for the first time in a long time. And it came from the shift that we're seeing in culture. But I guarantee you, something that me and you might not think about or realize is that there are people that would love to go to your church, that they would love to go and grow in their relationship with God. But Andrew, they are too ashamed of their past to step foot into that church building. Like an example analogy I use is recently I've been trying to get back in shape. Whenever my daughter was born almost 2 years ago now, I just kind of took a, I was in really good shape then, and then stopped when my daughter was born because, you know, new baby, just new rhythms in the family, and just had not gotten back into it. And so 2 years later, I'm trying to get back in shape, and my sister is going on and on about CrossFit. CrossFit's awesome. You should do it. I think you would love it. And I was like, okay. She doesn't live close to me, so I can't just go with her to a CrossFit gym. So I'm looking on the websites of the CrossFit gym that's down the road from me. And I'm like, oh, this looks cool. But it's like, man, I'm out of shape, Andrew. Like I haven't been to the gym in a while. It's like, I'm kind of ashamed of like where I feel like the people around me are going to judge me. And then I thought, oh my gosh, that is how so many Americans feel like whenever it comes to church, to where it's like, man, I would love to go into a local church. I would love to get back into church, but I'm ashamed. Like I feel like I'm not worthy to be there with everyone else, right? So a lot of people have similar mindsets like that. And so whenever you invite people to just go grab coffee, it's a lot lower risk, a lot lower commitment, to where there's people like, I have a friend, his name's Jesse. I'm praying for him to come to the Lord. He's agnostic. He owns a business. And so that's how we're kind of connected. And I was talking to him about this. And he's like, Brady, I love that because myself, I don't think I would go, like if I saw an ad for a church, I wouldn't go. But there's a really good chance if I saw an ad from a pastor and I resonated with it, I would for sure go grab coffee with him. And there are hundreds, if not thousands, of Jessies just like that in your city that you can literally just run an ad, invite people to grab coffee. And I know, like, in people's heads right now, like, especially if you're post-launch, your church is already planted, you're meeting Sundays, you're like, Brady, I love this. I don't have time to go meet with a bunch of people. I've got a million things going on right now. And so, like, Andrew, you joked about AI writing your sermon, right? I think AI is great at doing a lot of things. Like, for example, you can look at your calendar. This is something that we did with our team at Church Candy. Look at your calendar. At every team member, I want you to look at everything you do. What can be automated? What can we use AI to take that off your plate so that you can focus on some of those more, what we call high leverage activities, like just things that get a high ROI on your time. Like, for a lot of pastors, administrative work is not that. But what is a high ROI or high leverage task use of their time would be going and meeting with someone new, grabbing coffee with. That's huge. And so number one is, I think you could find time in your calendar if you reprioritized and found things that you could take off your plate, give just a team member, use AI to automate, whatever that might be. Not writing your sermons. But there, I guarantee you that a lot of churches listening to this, they have pastors on their team that would love this. It's like, you're telling me all I got to do is go and meet with people all day and just talk to them about the Lord and like evangelize. Like, there's people in my city that want to do that. Yes. And that's one of the things that where you probably have people that are doing admin work on your team that their time's probably better spent going and evangelizing and discipling people in your city. So you can, a lot of churches, what we're doing is setting up what's called a round robin calendar. So you set it to where it's like, hey, everyone, I need you to block off just a few hours a week to go do these meetings. And then what the calendar does is whenever someone clicks on the ad and they want to go grab coffee, it just shows all of the availability. And so they're able to choose a time that works for them. Or what's cool too is, now this is getting into the nitty gritty, but we ask for their name, email, phone number, like some contact info first. Then we show the calendar, because a lot of the times, Andrew, what happens is people are interested, they want to check it out, but they look at the calendar, they don't see any days and times that work for them. And then they just forget about it, click off the screen. But because we ask for their contact info first, then show them the calendar, we're able to then follow up with all the people that maybe they didn't find a time that worked with them and schedule something off the books after hours or like at another time that works better. We're able to follow up with them. That's something that works really well. I wonder, I've never shared my screen on Riverside. I was just bragging to Andrew before we recorded. I was like, dude, we use Riverside all the time for our virtual podcasts. I don't think I've shared my screen, so I might butcher this and do this wrong. Let me see. Screen. Oh, goodness. Okay. But I want to show Trailhead Christian Church. They ran a coffee with the pastor ad, and I don't have the exact stats on how many people they met with and what, but what they did do is they got connected with 27 families in their cities for $11 a piece. So they spent $11 on, they put $11 into Meta ads, and they had 27 people say that they're interested in grabbing coffee. And a lot of it were just ads that said, hey, ever felt like church wasn't for you? Let's talk. You know, another one, hey, Roger's got questions about God, Bible, or church. Curious about church? Let's meet up. Grab, it's a picture of pastor and their family, right? And then here is a video ad, Pastor Landon just inviting people to grab coffee, right?
For anybody that doesn't know, so Landon is actually one of our Nexus church planters in Northwest Arkansas, outside of Fayetteville, and has been using this, and it's just been remarkably successful. Like, yeah, I think I forget if it was him or another one of our church planters where they actually had to like shut the ad off because they didn't have the capacity to meet with as many people as like were reaching out to him to actually want to start doing that.
Yeah, and people are really reciprocal to this too, or reciprocal, because they see that there's no catch. Like, the catch is like, I'm going to invite you to church. But a lot of the times, man, like I've heard it said that the feeling of being loved and feeling heard are so similar, people oftentimes can't tell them apart. So this is an opportunity for people to be heard. And that's literally just making them feel loved. You know what I mean? Like, and so this is why I think it works so well, because just people innately have this deep desire to feel heard, to feel loved. And it, this is just such an easy way to do that. Does that make sense?
Well, I'm interested in that, really just that first step, because I feel like I've seen like so many different statistics or different things like that. Like when somebody is, you know, invited to church, oftentimes it's just like hard pass, like not going to be involved in that, like don't want to be a part of that. But if there's an opportunity to just dialogue or to have a spiritual conversation, that people are much more open and interested in having those conversations, in particular with somebody that they trust, but, you know, just maybe even in general, based off of some of what you guys are doing. And I'm curious as to, like, you know, whether social media methods of like just inviting to a church service or to an event or something like that versus some of what you guys are doing, which is just literally inviting them to a conversation first. Obviously, the end goal is getting them to church, but would just love to hear your thoughts just on how maybe you've resulted or just the process that you've led to of just starting with the conversation versus just going to like, hey, come to our Sunday service.
Yeah, I think the conversation's good. It's helpful. It's one of those things that it's work. It takes time. And so it's just human nature. We want to find the easy way out. We want to find the easy way to do it. I know I do, like in so many aspects of my life. And so it's one of those things that it does take some hard work. And I'll have churches similarly to Pastor Landon, to where it's like, look, this is awesome. I don't have the time. I don't have the capacity to do that. So we'll pivot to just inviting people to church. We have found like the people that this works best for are, number one, churches and pastors that can really commit the time to actually investing into these people. And a lot of the times it comes down to delegating it to a pastoral team. That's number one. And then number two are the church planters that are in grind mode. You know what I mean? To where it's like, look, I'll sit up at a coffee shop for 8 hours a day, Monday through Friday. And it's like, hey, I'm at this Starbucks. Here's the address. Here's my calendar. Just choose the time that works for you. Right. And like we had a church planter in the Midwest that ran this play. And they added like 70 families to their launch team in 1 month of doing this. Now, and out of all that, there's like probably 120 meetings that resulted in 70 families joining the launch team. Like it wasn't just like, oh, sweet, you click a button and it's done. No, like it takes time. It's a lot of conversations. It's a lot of work. But like there's a lot of fruit from that. There's another church to where the senior pastor, or it's not even senior, the founding pastor is an older gentleman. He's semi-retired. And whenever we were talking to their team about this, his son is now like the lead pastor preaching most Sundays. They were like, this is something great for dad to do now. He's going to meet with people. Like he's great at that. And that's way easier for him to handle, to where we can still focus on the day-to-day operations of the church and having pastor, I think his name's Larry, go and do those one-on-one meetings. And so there's different ways to go about that, but you also have to be strategic in giving the next step, right? Like, so this is getting into the practical. When you're having these coffee meetings, don't just say, man, I hear you. You know what you need? You need to come to our church and that's going to fix all your problems. Like, I don't know. I probably wouldn't say that. But what I would say is your testimony reminds me so much of X, Y, and Z person, right? When you're meeting with these people, think like, who is someone at my church that could really resonate with their story? And then tell them that, like, hey, your story reminds me so much of Adina who goes to our church. She went through something really, really similar and God has just done an amazing thing in her life. Are you free Sunday? Because I would love for you to come visit our church and I can introduce you to Adina, right? That gives them an extra reason to come to church. And so that's what we coach our church planters and pastors to do, instead of just like, hey, we would love for you to come to our, you know, startup party or interest party that's next week, or we would love for you to come to church Sunday because that's what you should do, right? Give them an extra reason to like, give them the why, right? And that's what we've seen bring the most fruit.
Yeah, yeah, that's fantastic. So this is, I mean, you mentioned a little bit, but just specific to like church planting can be phenomenal. A little bit more of just like churches that have been around for a little while, whether it's 5, 10 years plus years, say, however long, are you seeing just the same kind of fruit for established churches as well?
Absolutely. We're seeing the same fruit for churches that are able to dedicate the time to meeting with people, right? The times where it doesn't work, like, I'm going to be honest, like, there's times where we have to pivot and do a different strategy, different campaigns. And it's because they just simply don't have the capacity to be able to meet in person with people. The issue isn't getting people to show up to coffee meetings or getting people to show up to coffee meetings and show up to church. That's not the issue. The issue is the handling the demand, right? And actually being able to handle that well, right? Because the last thing you want to do is run an ad saying, hey, we'd love to meet and grab coffee and hear your story, and then be like, yeah, are you free 3 weeks from now? It's like, no, you want that within the next couple days, if possible.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, especially with like the church planting side of things, like I would think, you know, because if it's just the pastor, or if you have a pastoral team for a larger church or a larger staff, you've seen a ton of like people leveraging like just volunteer crews to be able to manage some of this?
Yeah, you can definitely do it with volunteers. But again, you and I both know, it's like, I don't know all your ministry background, Andrew, but I know I've been on staff at churches where it's like, okay, I think this person would be great to go meet with coffee with people. I don't think this person would be great, right? And so there's that too. So this is one of those things that you can definitely, you can delegate it and train a volunteer to help with this. However, I prefer whenever we're coaching churches on this to have it be someone like on your pastoral team. Because people like the idea of grabbing coffee with someone in a pastoral role, whether it's like an executive pastor, associate pastor, youth pastor, someone from your team that has a little bit more wisdom than just, you know, a single mom that's free during the day while her kids are at school to go grab coffee with people to tell them about the church. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. What are some ways that you help either individual pastors or teams, or, you know, just like leadership teams or something like that, boards that are, you know, hesitant to invest in anything to do with marketing? Like when you're approaching that conversation, we touched on it a little bit previously, but just overcoming just the mindset in general around marketing just kind of feels like a little transactional maybe for some church leaders. What are some things that you coach people through that?
Well, I first to start, just go straight to the fruit. And it's like, look, there's power in the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And I think everything starts with, this isn't us doing anything. I think this is God moving through us and moving through social media, making an impact, right? So it starts with that. And then secondly, is the word of our testimony is the fruit of like what other churches have seen. I personally believe that we have more testimonials and case studies than any other company or person that does this kind of thing. One is because I'm really good at getting my team to like, hey, like it, when we get a win, let's capture that. This is a lesson for churches out there. Whenever God does something awesome, get a testimony video, like capture. It's like, hey, God did something great in this person's life. Let's record that and share that testimony. But we do that in ourselves too, is, look, call it marketing, call it digital ministry, call it whatever. Like the semantics of what you call it doesn't matter. What's the story whenever the Pharisees are like going on and on about this guy who, whenever Jesus healed the blind man, and the guy's like, look, I don't know your problem with him or what. All I know is I was blind and now I see. It's like, look, I don't care if you don't want to call it marketing, call it whatever you want. All I know is I'm having pastors tell me, hey, there's this guy that came to our church. He was a drug addict. He wasn't allowed to see his kids, didn't have a job, got connected with us. We've been discipling him. Now he's back in his kids' lives, has a great job. He gave his life to the Lord, all because he found our church from an Instagram ad. like that, those kind of stories we hear all the time. Like whenever I talk with pastors, yes, I'll ask, hey, so what's the numerical growth that you guys have seen? What are those stats? But then also on the individual level, because every single one of those numbers has a name and a story and a soul, and God made them for a reason. So I always ask, like, what are different testimonies? Like, what are you seeing? How are you seeing God use this? And dude, I'm getting stories that are just like that of single mothers who are depressed and don't have a sense of community. And they feel like just so encouraged and blessed to be plugged into a church now that they're getting involved in serving, their kids loved, and then they're now a part of a life-giving community. I know there's a lot more, typically it's like an executive pastor board to where it's like, yeah, but what, like, if we're going to invest in this, like, it costs money to run ads on Facebook and Instagram. It costs money to hire Church Candy to set up and manage everything for you. We do want to see a return, right? And it's one of those things to where it's like, look, if the average income or average household income in America is like with 70 grand and you get one tithing family a month come in from this, that's an extra, what, $7,000 a month in giving. You're not paying $7,000 a month to us in this at all. So like, if you can get just one tithing family, honestly, I think pays for Church Candy for the whole year, just about. Like, don't quote me on that, but it's pretty close to it. It's one of those things that, like, look, if you can get one to two tithing families a month from doing this, it pays for itself 10 times over. Look at the fruit to it. And I can talk a little bit more to some pastors might be listening to this and it's like, okay, that's great, Brady. I love the coffee with the pastor idea. Me and my team, that's not us right now. We can't do that. So I can share a little bit on just some like invite strategies.
Yeah, no, I'd love to hear about some of the different types of funneling that you're kind of like looking at and what that looks like. But so this is just one version of that. So yeah. starting with coffee is just like one strategy or one process that you guys do. What other primary things do you guys focus on?
Yeah. So one of our main campaigns that we run for churches that are meeting every Sunday is a plan your visit ad. So this is where you're, instead of, you know, Facebook ad, coffee meeting church, it's just Facebook ad church. And so the way it works is, again, you record a video, and this one I'll give you a lot more like practical things. So what we ask is record a video where you're inviting people to church. But when you record the video, record three different intros. So, for example, one of them that is faith-based. So it's like, hey, are you looking for a church in the Conroe, Texas area? So that would be like a faith-based one. Or a family one could be about, hey, are you looking for a church to raise your kids in? Culture's crazy these days. You want to raise your kids in biblical values. We'd love to invite you to our church, right? So that's an intro that talks more about family or kids. Another one would just be about a community. Hey, doing life alone is no fun. If you are tired of doing life alone, we'd love to invite you to our church. God's doing amazing things, and you'd be a part of a wonderful community that loves and cares for you, right? So record a video inviting people to church, but have three different intros. And when you do that, what we do, or if you're even just running ads for yourself and you're doing ads for your church, you split test those side by side, right? And you'll see what's getting the best results, right? So instead of just like, because I feel like me, when I was first learning Facebook ads for our church, dude, I was throwing spaghetti at a wall and wasted $500 on our very first campaign and no one showed up for it. And that was embarrassing. Like, and I feel like a lot of church planters, a lot of pastors might feel like that. And so this is like a practical framework to where record a video inviting people to church, three different intros that kind of touch on different topics. And then you edit the video in a way to where it's super smooth. Like whenever we onboard churches, what we'll have them do is they'll go on a Sunday morning and just have someone on their team record some different things, like people hanging out in the lobby, greeters waving, the pastor preaching from the stage, the worship team. And then our team will actually edit their invite videos together to where whenever you have the different intros in your video, it will then cut to some of that B-roll that you filmed just on your iPhone. And whenever you do this, it's a couple of things. Number one is it doesn't look like an ad. Like, it doesn't look like a commercial. Like, if you were to use your fancy cameras and you film it like this, and it's the way we treat like announcement videos, people are just going to swipe away, right? But we try to make it look just like an organic Instagram reel with the captions and the B-roll thrown in and out. And so we'll split test those side by side. But what that does is it allows us to say, okay, this, whenever the pastor talks about family, like that's getting the most people planning a visit, right? So then we'll get with the pastor and say, hey, this ad is performing the best. Here's three more scripts. Re-record that video with these three new intros, these three new hooks that are all about family, right? The different ways. And then we'll run that by side by side. So this is really getting into like the nuts and bolts of it. But basically the call to action on these video ads, like that's what's getting people into the church, is kind of the same root idea with a coffee with a pastor meeting, to where you're basically saying, we know it might be intimidating visiting a church where you don't know anyone, and that's why we want to connect with you before Sunday. So if you tap below to plan a visit, our team will connect with you. That way the whole family feels welcomed by Sunday. And then, so that kind of removes that guardrail of like, oh, okay, sweet. I get to connect with them and their team. But this is the important part. Once they plan a visit and we'll send you a notification, hey, you know, Sam and Johnny plan to visit for church on Sunday. This is when you actually need to have someone from your team actually connect with them and make them feel welcomed. Maybe instead of, you know, going to grab coffee, it's just a phone call or a text combo. And we coach pastors on that and help try to automate some of that. But this is just like writing a sermon. I don't think ChatGPT or AI chatbots should replace those conversations. Like, I know me, like if I was interested in checking out a new church and I filled out something on their website or online and then I started texting with one of their pastors, then I found out that wasn't Pastor John, that was Pastor ChatGPT and automated bot texting me, I would lose trust in the church. I might start deconstructing or something. Man, like I wouldn't be crazy about that. So definitely like personal conversations and things like that work really well. One of the things that it takes some time to invest for a pastor to do, but like if you do it, you can just see some really good fruit from it, is we will have pastors just on their phone record a video saying, hey, Andrew, this is Pastor Brady with Valley Rise Church. So excited to meet you on Sunday. Let me know if you have any questions. We're praying for you, and we'll see you on Sunday. And you send that video to them. We had a pastor here. I'm going to share my screen again. I'm a pro at this now. So look at this testimony a pastor sent me. If you're listening, I'll just read a snippet of it to where she posted this on Facebook. And she said I remember when I found Ramp Church Texas online, I filled out an information form. The pastor personally sent me a video inviting me to service. That was the first thing that made me want to go. Then Sunday came. I wanted to sleep in so bad, but the pastor called me the day before and I said I would be there. So I got up. And then she goes on to talk about how much she loved the church. But it's one of those things to where church candy, we ran ads for this church. Ava planned a visit. And then if that would have just sat on a spreadsheet or a text notification and no one followed up with her, she would have never showed up to that church. She would have never joined that church and start giving and serving. But not because of the ads that Church Candy ran, not because the amazing Instagram posts that are on the church's page, what was it that made her show up? It was a pastor. It was the pastor taking time to record that video and talk with her on the phone. Again, going back to what we were talking about earlier, making people feel seen. It's making people, she felt loved in that moment, whether she realized it or not, because she felt seen. And this church specifically is someone who we had to stop running ads for because their Sundays are full. They're running three services, all packed. They went from like 500 to, I think now they're over 1,000 average attendance. Now that was over, I think, 18 months. Time horizon, but it was just consistently doing this, running ads, inviting people to church, connecting them, making them feel welcomed. And then once they show up, you know, making them feel not just welcomed, but like this is their home. We call it the three P's. You got to promote, you got to pursue, and then get them plugged in. Promote with ads, inviting them to church. P, you got to pursue them, got to follow up with them, send them a personal video, talk to them on the phone. You know, one of our core values at Church Community is mission over method. So I don't care if you're talking with them on the phone. I don't care if you're shooting them text messages or we have some different automated text things. You just got to do something there to follow up with them and pursue them. And then the other third P is plugged in, getting them plugged into your church, having good next steps, having good assimilation. And this goes outside of just Facebook and Instagram ads. But those are the things that we're seeing bring real fruit into the local church. Lives are being changed and churches are growing. And like, I truly believe there's never been a better time to be in ministry than today, just because the tools that we have at disposal we didn't have before.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Well, and that's one of the things that I've learned over the years of just even the plan your visit methodology is that so many churches, I think, just like want to put the button on their website and there's no plan to actually follow up with planning your visit. And so I remember one marketing guy kind of equating it to like watering your yard with just like a sprinkler and just like moving the sprinkler around, or like, oh, it's dead over here, we're gonna sprinkle over there. Oh, it's dead over here. But rather like installing a system that actually like follows through and, you know, just walks through and just checks and balances like all the different areas that need to be approached through that. Cause yeah, you can run ads and you can throw dollars at all these different things, but if you're not intentionally following up with people, and then even beyond the first Sunday, right, of just what that looks like, you know, or, you know, when they, whatever website it takes them to, a landing page of, you know, maybe you're checking in kids ahead of time, you know, or getting the information down, or all the little helpful things, the personal touches, the constant contacts with individuals. There's so much to it that just kind of goes with that. And oftentimes that just feels overwhelming for some teams or some leaders. But yeah, I could see or have seen just a lot of the struggle or tension with just the whole plan your visit idea, that is more than just saying, hey, plan your visit, these are our service times, hope you show up.
Yeah, Andrew, and I'll be honest, like this is the thing that we're always looking at trying to help in church pastors and come up with solutions for, because so many churches will see the testimonials from pastors that we work with. It's like, wow, this church grew by this much, and all these powerful testimony, like individual testimonies of lives being changed. And then they sign up with us. And what typically happens is the lead pastor sees the ad for us, and they call the shot and say, we're going to do this. And then they pass it down to someone else on their team. And then that team member already had a really full plate. And so following up with people that plan a visit gets put on the back burner of the million things that they were already in charge of doing. And then 3 months go by, me and my team were like, look at all the people that plan to visit. And they're like, yeah, we've had some new guests. Cause you'll see a lot of people just running ads, inviting people to plan a visit. Like there's a girl that's on staff at Church Candy who found our church from the Facebook ads that we were running. And she never planned to visit. She never filled out a form, but she started visiting our church, and now she's our billing and admin director. And so there's going to be people that will visit your church that don't go through that funnel and don't plan a visit. They just see the ad. They send it to their spouse. They're like, okay, I want to check this church out. But if that's all you're relying on, then don't even run ads like that. Like I wouldn't even waste the money on it, like because I don't know that it would be worth it, because you can't track that. You're just going back to throwing spaghetti at the wall, right?
Well, man, I know that you've worked with like just a ton of different churches, and specifically in the context of church planting, whether, you know, we've talked a lot about how some of the success stories of like getting X amount of people in your launch team and different things of that nature. I'd love to, you know, just even look at the potential of like more of like a revitalizing type of a scenario or something like that. Do you have like any success stories of churches that have maybe been around for a little while? I'm thinking like anything, because we have churches that are, you know, maybe 10, 15, 20 years old, but I'm even thinking you're like, especially on the East Coast, you know, churches that are in that 100, 150 year old mark, 200 years old, but that are just like utilizing some of this type of stuff to really bounce back and just see some of the fruit. Do you have any additional stories that you could share with us?
Yeah. There's a church. They were kind of what you're talking about. Older church, I think over 50 years old. And the average age in the church at the time was 55 plus. Like, not a lot of youth in the building. The pastor retired, and so their board was trying to find someone to, you know, be a successor. And someone I'm connected with who's, he's not a young guy. He's in his late 40s or early 50s, or maybe that's young. No, I'm 27, so I don't know anything about anything. But he went into the church and was like, all right, we gotta do something. And so they're someone that, you know, we worked with and helped revitalize and relaunch their church. And they have seen substantial growth, going from around 50 to 60 people a Sunday to now 200 to 300 people just within the span of 12 to 18 months. And so that's not, you know, that's not blowing out the wall at Zoo, but like, they just consistently see God bring people into their church. And so really what it comes down to is whether you're an older church wanting to, you know, revitalize, or a church that's a little bit younger, the strategies basically say the same, to where you're finding people that resonate with your vision and your mission as a church, getting connected with them. Because think about how many people that would love to be connected in a local church and everything that comes along with that, growing spiritually in a relationship with God, getting involved in just being a part of a community and raising your kids in a place that is in biblical culture and biblical context, right? And they probably drive by a lot of churches that are listening to this. They drive by their church every single Sunday. Every single day, they drive by it, and they have no idea that these churches exist, and they're searching for fulfillment in these things in their life, but they don't even think to consider, or maybe they do think to consider, but they need something to help them take that next step, right? And so that's a lot of the times what this is. The type of people that we see coming into these churches, a lot of the times are people that you're not necessarily seeing, like atheists or people that are just like anti-God and like what you might think when you think of reaching the lost. The lost that you're reaching are people that were maybe raised in church, but then deconstructed or kind of just stepped away as they got older, or they were going to church but moved and just never got around to finding a new church, or a lot of people stopped going to church in 2020 and never really just made it a habit to get back in to going to church. And so those are typically a lot of the loss that you're seeing. These people that, you know, I live in the South, that everyone's a Christian. Yeah, but doesn't mean you're living that out in an active relationship with Jesus, right? And so a lot of the people that you're getting connected to are people that are agnostic, or, yeah, I believe in God, but they're not necessarily living day to day like for Jesus. And so, man, new churches can reach those people. Old churches can reach those people. There's really no reason why churches out there can't get connected to those guys.
Yeah, that's awesome. I wanted to ask you, you know, because churches are so many different contexts and so many different, like, just sizes of just the communities of where they're at, you know, so whether you're in, like, you know, big city, there's 10 million people, or if you're just in a small town and there's 10,000 people or less, you know, tell me a little bit about just some of the different size cultures that people are just kind of exist in within their community, and how Church Candy, maybe in particular in those smaller cities, is it still worth it doing stuff like that?
Yeah, it definitely, you can make it work in small cities. Now, the thing that you need to keep in mind is when we say small, that means different things to different people, right? If there's 300 people in a 50-mile radius, hey, we're probably not a good fit. Like, there's just not enough people that live in your area. If my brother said he wanted to plant a church, and he's like, God calls me to this city with 300 people, say, bro, if that's what God calls you to, awesome. I wouldn't recommend it, though.
Like, direct mail, right?
Not enough people. Like, you can knock on doors on a weekend and hit all those 300 people, right? But like, if there's, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10,000 people, like, we've seen it work in that context, right? And what's cool about it is because there's less people, and this isn't the goal, but it's opened up doors to where, because you're hitting kind of the same people over and over again, they keep seeing you on social media. When you go to the grocery store, you go to restaurants or the gym, I've got pastors telling me, he's like, dude, I've got people stopping me, and that's opening up conversations. He's like, I prayed with the lady that worked the front desk of my gym. She was like, hey, are you a pastor? You kept showing up on my Instagram. And he was able to pray with her and start discipling her. And now she goes to their church, not because she saw an ad and planned to visit and ended up going that way. She saw an ad, just kept seeing it, and then recognized the guy in public. And that opened up the door for her to start going and visiting their church. And then larger cities, we've got churches that are outside of Manhattan, and then in big cities throughout Chicago, Houston, Dallas, LA, like in those contexts, it works great too. The thing with that, whenever you get to larger cities, is you're targeting a lot smaller radius, just because you want to focus in on like, okay, who are people most likely to come to our church? Not probably a 30-mile radius. Let's do closer to, 5 to 8 miles, right? And then we'll get a lot more specific with some of the different targeting metrics there. Like, for example, one of the things we can do, and we'll do this for smaller churches too, but or churches in smaller cities, but this has a bigger impact just the higher the population is, just because math. We'll do what's called retargeting. So this is where, like, if you're on Amazon, and my wife does this all the time, you're looking for a new water bottle. I feel like I'm getting a new water bottle for my wife every 6 months, and it's great. This is one of her old ones. But you're on Amazon, you're looking at these water bottles, and you go to Instagram, and you start seeing ads for the water bottles. So Amazon knows that you're interested in that water bottle, so they're going to show you ads for it because you went to their website. So we can do the same thing for your church's website by just adding what's called the meta pixel on your website. So like right now, churches, you can go to the Google Chrome extension shop and install the Meta Pixel helper on your Chrome browser, and then go to your church's website, and it'll tell you whether or not you have this installed. And the reason why you want it installed is because that'll allow you to create a custom audience inside of Meta and show ads to people that go to your church's website. So you can go, and there's YouTube tutorials on this, on how to add this and how to do that specifically. But this allows us to show ads to people that are already looking for your church and already checking you out online. And this is where you start to follow them around online. Like, I remember I've had people come up to me and they would be like, Pastor Brady, like, I knew God was calling me here to come to church because every time I turned around on Instagram, I just kept seeing you. And I just like smile and like, amen, brother. Like, I believe God was calling you here too. Knowing in my head that like God was using that strategy to where once people went to our website or watched one of our videos, like, we're just going to keep showing them ads. And that's just like the whole story of, you're just planting seeds and continue to water it and nurture it. And, there's people in my life that I've tried to disciple and encourage and try to bring them in the Lord. And they didn't necessarily like give their life to Jesus right then, but I know that was a seed planted that hopefully someone else will continue to water and nurture later in their life. And it's kind of the same concept here, to where we're planting seeds and then just waiting on God to do the rest. And you'll see those people show up in your church, because every time they turn around, they just keep seeing you.
Yeah, no, dude, that's fantastic. Well, Brady, I'm so grateful for just the opportunity to dialogue with you about just some of the services that you offer, and just the heart behind it, really, man, just being able to connect with people and really being able to see the kingdom grow. And I want to just kind of hear just from you of just, some of the things that you are still offering, like, what's the best way that people can kind of get connected with you? And then and even outside of, or just kind of understanding just a little bit more about Church Candy, like, is it just running Facebook and Instagram ads? Or like, do you do other services as well? If there's like other social media coaching, or, into like the Google ad grant, or manage like any other services that you kind of provide? Like, give me a high level snapshot of just everything Church Candy and how people can find you.
Yeah. If anyone's interested, they can go to churchcandy.com and schedule a discovery call with our team. We want to see if you would be a good fit to work with us, ask you questions, and you can ask questions about us, and we want to make sure we're a good fit to work together. We don't just have a sign up page for anyone that we want to work with. I've got a funny story to tell you about that later, about a Baha'i church that a man called me racist because I would not let his Baha'i church work with us. He's like, hey, we didn't, it's not, don't know that's our thing. He said, oh, only want to work with white churches. Huh? I was like, no, actually, like I think 50%, if not more than 50% of the churches we work with are led by African-American pastors. So it's not that at all. That being said, we want to make sure like we're a good fit to work together. So you can schedule a call with our team and chat. But yeah, as far as what we do, like we focus on, we want to connect as many people as possible, a million people to local church. And so right now the main service we're offering are Facebook and Instagram ads. For churches that need it and are interested, we do have a service where we'll manage your Google Ads grant and help with your SEO to where whenever people are looking for, you know, churches in my city to make sure you show up there, right? We tried just doing the Google Ads grant, but that alone, what we found isn't enough to really move the needle and really see a lot of fruit. So doing some things with SEO and your Google business profile, make sure that's optimized, getting Google reviews, some things like that. We help churches with to make sure they're showing up high on Google. That is something else we offer. But the main thing is the Facebook and Instagram ads, because I still think that's just the most valuable thing. Because like I could turn an ad for a church on today, and like you already see new families, new faces this Sunday. The Google Ads grant, the SEO, all that's good. Long-term investment's great, but it's exactly that. It's a long-term investment. Right. And so those are the things we've got going on. So you can go to churchcandy.com and check us out there. I've got a podcast. I'm putting out new content every single week. You can check that out. Just search Brady Sticker on YouTube and then follow me on Instagram as well.
That's awesome, man. Well, everybody, just want to thank you for checking out the Nexus Church Planting Podcast. If this content episode was helpful for you guys, just encourage you to subscribe and share it with a friend. And join us next time as we continue to equip and train multiplying leaders to advance the kingdom of God. So keep pressing forward, and we'll see you next time.